dinero.
And your Gillip has taken Hugh. If you will recall, when we completed on the hour of lunch, your Gillip took you to page 10. Line 29. So we are going to start on line 30. Are the honourable members with me? Mm-hmm. Honourable Santo, I see your phone, your microphone is ready to speak. Are you speaking?
No.
Okay, sorry about that. Can the then just Honourable Santo, seeing that you've come in, I refer now to the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill as GILAP. So when I say GILAP, I'm talking about this original document without the red printing. You need that one before you. And then if you go to page 10 and line 30, you find the numbers of the lines in the right-hand vertical column. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, line 30, that's where we're going to start. This is the last law that Gillip is mending. We've already done the two. It talks about am I correct? It talks about amending Act 65 of 2002. Now that Act 65 of 2002 is the Intelligence Services Act 65 of 62. That's the full name. We normally just refer to it as the Services Act. When the intelligence people speak, you always add intelligence in front if you're not in the intelligence business. So Services Act is the Intelligence Services Act. That's what you need. You need not the one with the red. The red one will help you to understand where we are. But you need to be on page 10, line 30 of your Gillip, and then you need your Act 65 of 2002 also in front of you. And then we will ask the Mr. Smuts to take us through that. Mr. Smuts, you can then proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're on page 10 of the bill from line 30. Clause 14 of the bill seeks to amend Section 1 of the Services Act, and it inserts a few new definitions: accounting officer, auditor general, classified information council, foreign signals intelligence, etc., and security competence, vetting investigation. Those are new definitions. And then it also seeks to affect certain technical amendments.
Honourable members, that's section 1. Section 1 in the bill or in the law is always dealing with definitions. If the honourable members are happy, we can then proceed to clause 2. These are just definitions going in and being amended. Take particular note of the definition, the first one, accounting officer. If you look at your Intelligence Services Act, then you will see there is no definition for accounting officer. And if you then look at your GILIP on the right hand, on your left hand side on page 10, you see that the accounting officer is to be inserted. And where is it going to be inserted? After the advisory committee. So if you look at your act, you'll see there is a definition for advisory committee. And so as the alphabet allows, your accounting officer is going to be added there as a new definition. And then he's the one that is defined in terms of the PMFA. Just as an example on the members of the team. Can we then go on this much?
Thank you, Chairperson. The next clause is on page 11 of the bill, from line 15. It's merely an amendment of the heading of the chapter 2 to the services bill. If I may, clause 16 is dealt with sorry, sir, may I carry on with anything? Thank you. The next amendment is on page 11 from line 20, and it's an amendment to section 3 of the Services Act, and it provides for the continued existence of the agency. This is also the changes or the amendments are necessitated by the absorption of the different bodies into the State Security Agency, and that is what the amendment clause 16 in Maine seeks to achieve.
Can you just hold on there? It's not. Are the honourable members with us? We are on page 11 of GILIP, and we are at line 20, and it is the bold paragraph 16 of GILIP. And GILIP is saying that section 3 of the Intelligence Services Act, which is the act that you should have before you, 65 of 2000, is to be amended by the substitution of this new heading, continued existence of the agency. And then the next one is the big one, because therein is the substitution that is B. Looking at GILIP, you see brackets in B, by the substitution of subsection 1 for the words preceding A, for now there comes your new State Security Agency referred to in Schedule 1 of the Public Service. This is where the State Security Agency has been created in your GILIP. And this is where it's going to go. Remember I said to you, when we are finished with this whole episode here at Parliament, GILIP is not going to exist. It will exist to show that there was authority by Parliament. But the thing that we are going to be interested, or that everybody is going to be interested in there outside, it what does the Oversight Act say, what does the Services Act say, and what does the Strategic Act say? Because those are the ones that have been amended. GILIP is merely telling us what to do. So at the end of the day, this Section 3 is going to tell us no longer that there's a National Intelligence Agency, but that there is a State Security Agency. If you're looking now at the Act, and not at GILIP, Section 3 is going to say there is a National not a National Intelligence Agency and a South African Secret Service, but that there is a State Security Agency, which is the new entity. Can we continue on?
Thank you, Chairperson. The next amendment is contained on page 11 of the bill from line 45. It's clause 17, which seeks to amend section 4 of the Services Act. The section provides for the composition of the agency. The clause seeks to provide for the creation of posts. The clause seeks to authorize the minister to create posts at the equivalent level of deputy director general, establish branches, and establish components. those matters are not yet in the, are not currently in the Act. Chairperson.
Honourable members, elementary, technical, can we proceed? We're then going to go over to page 12, if I'm correct, Mr. Smart, you can proceed.
The following next amendment contained in page 12 from line 6 and clause 18 seeks to amend section 5 of the Act, and where it currently provides for the establishment of a South African National Academy of Intelligence, it seeks to provide for a training fund for the agency, and the rest of the amendments, except for perhaps paragraph G, are of a technical nature. Paragraph G says that all monies which immediately prior to the commencement of the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Act were monies defrayed for training under the South African National Academy of Intelligence, those monies must now be used for the establishment of the training fund for the agency.
Honourable members, if you look at your Services Act now, your Intelligence Services Act, if you look at Section 5, before the amendment as it now stands, it reads the establishment of South African National Academy of Intelligence, what we call SANI. Now, there's no longer going to be a SANI. We spoke early on in the morning that SANI is a college, and it used to report separately. It had its own budget, although the budget was under the, it was a spending agent of NEA, but now the functions are going to be incorporated into those of the State Security Agency, and the amendment, this Section 5 is merely going to give effect to that. What's going to happen now, there will be a fund of some sort, and this money is going to be used to train the agency. The college is no longer going to be allowed to report separately to the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. So what Mr. Smuts just took you through now is an amendment to Section 5. Section 5 in the present Act is where COMSEC is established. But COMSEC is no longer going to be established. Remember, the consolidation is that all these individual entities are now going to be incorporated into an entity called the State Security Agency. Just for the question of clarity on the names. Can we proceed then, Honourable Smuts? Honourable Hester Smuts.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're on page 13 of the bill, on the top, clause 19. The clause seeks to repeal Section 6, and it's merely consequent to the changes to Section 5. Section 6 of the current Act, of the Services Act, provides for the appointment of the head and deputy head of the Academy, which no longer exists. Clause 7, if I may continue, Chairperson, of Clause 20 seeks to repeal Section 7 of the Services Act. Section 7 provides for the composition of the Academy, and which is now defunct. We're still on page 13 from line 5. It's an amendment to Section 8 of the Services Act. Again, it's more merely a technical consequential amendment. The next amendment is clause 22, which seeks to amend section 9. Section 9 provides for the establishment of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Training, and the amendment seeks to provide for the composition of that committee. So can I continue? We're on clause 23, that's from line 28 of the bill on page 13, seeks to amend section 10 of the Services Act. And if I skip something, perhaps the department should assist, but if I'm not mistaken, these are more of a consequential nature. Perhaps the committee would like to consider this clause. At the end of the clause, a new provision is added or inserted, which provides for the submission by the DG to the Minister of a report on the activities of the agencies for the relevant financial year, etc.
Just 1 minute. We are on clause 23, KILIP, page 13. What happens now is GILIP is establishing a new entity called the State Security Agency. So now there's only one DG. There used to be more than one DG because these separate things also had DG. What section 10 is just saying, remember, your academy also had a head there, a principal. What section 10 is now saying is there will be one DG, and you'll find that there somewhere or the other. The Director General, if you look at line 35, the Director General, now there's no longer Chief Executive Officer, there's going to be one Director General that is running the SSA, the State Security Agency. So that's the heading. If you go to the Services Act and you go to Section 10, the heading is Heads of Intelligence Services and the Academy. Now that's not longer going to apply because there's no longer going to be heads. There's going to be a DG, one DG to run these things because they're all incorporated. So that's just the reasoning there, honorable members.
Just for clarity, if I may, just take you back to line 1617 of the establishment of the Ministerial Advisory Committee, paragraph C there. It says that the head of the national intelligence structures, is that correct? Mustn't that change to the state security agencies?
What page are you on, sir?
On page 13.
Yes.
Section 9, line 17.
I think if you look at the, if you go to your act now, don't look at your KILIP. Go to your act. And then go to the first page of your act, on page one of your act, then you'll see right at the bottom, you should see a definition of national intelligence structures. Okay? And then you'll see that it's defined in terms, national intelligence structures is not a new word. It is found in the Strategic Act in section one. Now, if you could do that cross-reference to your Strategic Act, in section one, and I can assist you there very quickly. Then if you look at the bottom of the second page of definitions, you'll see national intelligence structures means. Have you got it? Now you should understand. Okay, so it's NICOC. Okay. And then the intelligence division of the defense force. Okay. And then the police. Okay, and then the agency and the services, but that's already been amended. Those two things have been amended. As we went through that act, we amended we tend to amend the agency and the services because that's NICOC and SUS. So, are you satisfied, honorable member? Can we then proceed, Mr. Sons?
We're on page 14 from line 36. Clause 24, which seeks to amend Section 11 of the Services Act. The section deals with the powers and duties of members of the agency, and it also seeks to effect technical amendments, Chairperson.
Honourable members, if you look at your killip, you'll just see now, you'll see intelligence services and you'll see agency come up more regularly now because the agency has been established and the agency is the SSA, the State Security Agency. So these are technical amendments and it's merely to you can proceed, Mr. Smith.
Page 15, at the top of the page, which seeks to amend Section 12, it's Clause 25. Section 12 of the Act contains the general powers of the Minister and again it is amendments of a technical nature. Chairperson Lowe. Although there's a new power for the minister in contained in paragraph C, which authorizes the erection and maintenance of buildings on property acquired.
It's fine. Can you proceed?
Yes. Clause 26 seeks to amend Section 13. It is more of a transitional nature, and it is of technical nature, and it replaces the defunct reference to intelligence services. And it clarifies that a member has the right to retire from the agency on a date which he or she attains the age of 55 years or on a date after that date. You will recall that this matter has been discussed some meetings ago.
Yeah, the minister was asked especially to explain, and I think we've heard lots of explanations as to what is. Can you proceed then?
Clause 27 of the bill on page 15 from line 39 seeks to amend section 14 of the Act, Services Act. Section 14 relates to security screening and discharge of members, and it contains all the requirements relating to that matter. The amendments proposed, you will notice, are also of a, in my view, technical nature, and it seeks to replace certain phrases or words used, for instance, vetting instead of screening. Security screening is being bracketed out and vetting substituted, therefore.
Honourable members, you will recall when we were busy with the Strategic Act earlier on, then there was the reference to the vetting, and this is just merely to be consistent to refer to the vetting process rather than security screening. So this is nothing new. Yes, proceed, Mr. Sun.
We're on page 16, clause 28, which is on line 35 of the page. The clause seeks to substitute the current section 15, and the section relates to the discharge of members on account of long absence without leave. One of the important changes here is, and I'll read it to you, any member who absents himself or herself, whether voluntary or involuntary, from his or her official duties without the permission of the DG for a period exceeding currently to each 14, in the future it will be 10 consecutive working days, is deemed to have been discharged from the academy, the agency. The reference to 14 and 10 is also occurs lower down in line 49. Otherwise, yes, I can also just refer on the next page to proposed section 15 sub 2, which authorizes the minister to make regulations for the purposes of any appeal lodged in terms of subsection 1C. The minister may establish an advisory panel to assist him or her in considering an appeal.
Honourable members, the clause 15, which is your GILIP 28, I think that speaks for itself. I think the amendment is just bringing things in line. The 10 days, the 10 working days is 2 weeks. In law, you normally refer to the working days, so that if there are public holidays or weekends in between, you make it quite clear what it is that the legislature is trying to say. You must also remember that there's not much amendments done here, but the purpose of this particular section is to prevent unauthorized holidays of people that's doing quite serious work and also people disappearing. You must also recall that the intelligence agency, this particular civilian intelligence agency, is created under Chapter 11 of the Constitution, which is your security service, your security forces, which includes your police and your defense force. And if they can't go AWOL, and if their repercussions are going AWOL, there's no reason why the intelligence service should not have repercussions if they go AWOL. And it's already in the Act. So can we proceed, honorable members? I thought this section speaks for itself.
Chairperson, thank you. Clauses 29, 30, and 31 all relate to discharge of members. First, discharge on account of ill health. Secondly, discharge or demotion of members on account of performance. And 18 deals with discharge or demotion of members on account of misconduct. The clauses are fairly the same, virtually the same, effecting technical amendments and providing for the minister to establish a advisory panel to assist him or her to consider appeals resulting from the discharge contemplated in sections 16, 17, and 18 of the Services Act. That's up to clause 31.
Then it takes us to clause 32, is that correct? Which is on page 18.
Yeah.
So, honourable members, are we happy with that? There's no what's name to talk about there. I think that. Then can we proceed then from line 15 on your GILIP, which is clause 32 in your GILIP?
Clause 32 seeks to amend section 19. Section 19 of the Services Act deals with the transfer and discharge of members on account of public interest, secondment of members, and temporary employment of other persons. The amendments proposed are of a, in my view, of a technical nature.
Honourable members, as you can see, agency and intelligence service and those things, academy being amended there, so there's nothing new there. That's a technical procedure. Honourable Mr. Smith.
Okay. The clause 33 seeks to substitute section 20 of the Act, which provides for all the delegation powers. The one delegation that is being excluded, and you'll find it on page 18 in line 46, you'll notice that 6.2 has been bracketed out. Section 6.2 of the Services Act reads as follows: the Minister must appoint a deputy head of the academy who is responsible for the curriculum, and so on. So that section no longer is defunct. The delegation can be omitted. The other amendments containing sub 2 are of a technical nature.
All in order, honourable members. If you look at your strategic act, your services act, sorry, you'll see all those bracket things there. Only the black things are being, the bold black letters are being removed. These are your deletions. So you can see those are technical things. Can we then proceed? I take it we're going to go over to page 19.
Yes. We're on the top of page 19, clause 34, which seeks to amend section 21 of the Services Act. Changes are mainly of a technical nature, but in the new sub 1, proposed section 21 sub 1 would read: no member of the agency may strike or induce or conspire with any other member or person to strike. Person, as you know, would include a, by virtue of the Interpretation Act, would include a legal person and a body corporate.
Interestingly enough, I like this thing. It's very good. It's very nice. Just to take a break on all this, I was on the Judicial Service Commission, and when we interviewed, and it was an open interview, it was no secret, interviewing a judge applying to appear in labor court, I asked whether the judge considered it appropriate for judges to strike. And there was some difficulty in answering the question, but you can see the repercussions for people. There were some people wanting to strike this week. They were also wanting to be on the same level as judges. And if they were on the same level of judges, it would have been a very interesting question as to. I might say that when we questioned the Deputy Chief Justice presently, I put the very same question to him. And he was of the view, certainly not. But I thought, so on a lighter note, honourable members, I might just add that, you know, there are some things in the public sector you just can't have them strike. It's just not right. And I think when it comes to national security, we cannot have, and I'm sure the colleagues here from the agency are very much in agreement with us, that some of these institutions, these public institutions, it's just not right that they be striking. Can we proceed then, Mr. Smith?
We're on page 19 from line 10, clause 34, which seeks to substitute section 22 of the Services Act. The amendments, again, are mainly of a technical nature. However, in proposed section 22 sub 2, that is in, which occur on line, from line 20, it would read in future, if adopted, that the persons contemplated in subsection 1, must be fit and proper persons, and instead of with a thorough knowledge of the function of intelligence services, it now reads to fulfill the functions referred to in subsection 3, and then subsection 3 sets out the functions related in the current act. Clause 36, which occur on page 20 from line 6, is an amendment of section 23 of the Act, Services Act. The heading to that section reads, hold time of members to be at disposal of state. The proposed amendment are also of a technical nature.
proceed, Mr. Sonia.
The same would apply to section 37. Clause 37, which seeks to amend section 24, which occur on page 20 from line 35. It is of technical nature. Section 38, clause 38 seeks to amend section 25. The proposed section 25.1 is a technical amendment, and the new subsection 2 seeks to state it that the medals mentioned in the previous subsection must be registered with the Bureau of Heraldry, terms of the Heraldry Act, and in the prescribed manner. Section clause 39, which seeks to amend section 26, also, in my view, contains technical amendments, Chairperson.
Am I correct here on page 21?
Yes.
Proceed, Mr. Sons.
We are on
page 21 from line 43, amendment of section 27, and it's clause 40. The changes appear to be of a very technical nature, Chairperson. And the same would apply, in my view, to clause on page 22 from line 5, the amendment clause 41, which seeks to amend section 28. Clause 42 seeks to amend section 29. Just want to get the heading of that section in front of me, Chairperson. Section 29 of the Act provides for prohibited communications by former members of the agency. And the amendments proposed are... It seeks to bound all former members of the agency or of the former National Intelligence Agency, the Secret Service, and the Academy of Intelligence to prohibit them from making certain communications. Clause 43, which seeks to mean section 30, is also of a consequential nature, and the same would apply to the proposed amendments contained in clauses 44 and 45. We're still on page 22, and clause 46. And if we turn over to page 23, also in relation to clause 47, and in relation to clause 48, the same would apply to clause 49, which occurs on page 23. And if we turn over to page 24 of GLAB, there are some consequential amendments. Very important, this is actually an important clause. It's section 37 of the Services Act. Just want to get the... of my computer. Section 37 of the Services Act authorizes the minister to make certain regulations. So apart from consequential technical amendments, at the end of clause 49, and we're on page 24, from line 18, you'll see that there are some new powers added to the ministers powers to make regulations, new paragraphs, SA, SB, SC, SD, SE, and SF are added. And in relation to those matters, the minister would also be able to make regulations.
Thank you, Chair. We wish to propose an amendment to Clause 49. That proposed amendment is on page 4 of my document. I think it is a fairly uncontroversial amendment. We propose that on page 24, after line 28, to add the following paragraph by the insertion after subsection 2 of the following subsection, which would read brackets 2A, regulations contemplated in subsection 1SC must be consistent with the provisions contained in the regulation of interception of communication and provision of communication related information Act 2002, Act number 70 of 2002. And by the addition of the following section to create a new 6, which would read, any regulation made under this section must be submitted to and approved by the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. I think the first proposed amendment, the objective is self-evident. It's simply, its intention is to ensure that the regulations in respect of foreign signals intelligence are consistent with the provisions in the RICA Act, and the proposal, the second proposal, is simply to ensure that all the regulations made under this section are submitted and approved by the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. Thank you, Chair.
Noted. Can we then proceed?
Chair, we're on page 24 from line 29. It's clause 50, which seeks to amend section 38 of the Services Act. The section provides for discoveries, inventions, and improvements by members, and the amendments appear to be of a technical nature, in my view. The Clause 51 of the bill seeks to substitute Section 40 of the Services Act, and it provides for transitional provisions resulting from the restructuring, and it is, how can I put it, it's fairly straightforward. It provides for a smooth transition insofar as it hasn't yet been effected, but it's sort of standard clauses which occur when you absorb one body into another body.
Honourable members, that's okay. I think it speaks for itself. That's on page 25 where we are, and the whole of page 25, which is your KILIP paragraph 51. Proceed then.
Clause 52 seeks to provide for the repeal of substitution of schedule to Act 65 of 2002. The schedule contains the laws that are repealed, and those are then listed in the schedule, which is depicted here. The intention is to repeal the whole of the CompSec Act and certain sections of the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Act of 2003. Shall I carry on?
Just 1 minute. This second law that's in that chart, this is the one that we flagged, isn't it? And now we're repealing this, some of those things that we said were possibly not in operation.
No, I didn't quite get that.
rule of 52, we are
No, it actually seeks to, some of the provisions of Act 52 of 2003 have been put into effect. Those sections have done their work and they're now defunct because they've inserted clauses in certain acts. So the skeleton, as it were, that remains can be repealed. So it's merely a cleaning up operation than anything else.
Very long title. Page 26, paragraph 53.
Yeah, it's proposed to replace the long title to the Services Act, reflecting the changes proposed in the foregoing amendments. It's also of a technical nature. And then clause 44 seeks to amend certain laws. 55 seeks to provide for the short title and commencement. So far, Shepherd?
Yes. Are we going to go to the schedules then?
Chairperson, yes, the number.
Just the difference, you see, you refer you to schedule the laws repealed and then there's a schedule one.
Okay.
Can you just explain to us the drafting technique? Why have we got that one in a separate schedule and then it's not called schedule one and then we have another schedule one?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, clause 52 of the bill seeks to replace a schedule which is currently contained in the Services Act. There's only one schedule, so the heading reads schedule. While the schedule contemplated in clause 54, or referred to in clause 54, is schedule 2 to this Act. We've out of habit, called it Schedule 1 because it has happened in the past that you want to add a further schedule and then you have to renumber or have an amendment, amending the name of the schedule to Schedule 1. So we as a habit, as a rule, nowadays refer to, even if there's one schedule, we refer to Schedule 1. But this last schedule one is a schedule 2 GLAB, while the other one is an schedule contained in the Services Act.
Okay, do you want to just take us through the schedule because it is also proposing what I would consider to be also consequential amendments to other legislations, just to get the terminology right?
Chair, yes, it's... It is clustered together in a schedule merely because it is in my view, of a consequential nature, and it seeks to effect changes to. You'll see that the Act number is mentioned in the first column, the name of the Act in the second column, and the extent of the amendments contained in the third column. A number of acts are sought to be repealed. Security Services Special Account Act, on page 28, the Protection of Information Act, although there's a new clause inserting the definition of security matter. And there's the Public Service Amendment to the Public Service Act. Perhaps the department could also assist here about the extent of the amendments, but in any event, a number of amendments are proposed on page 29 to the Labor Relations Act, the Government Employees Pension Law, on page 30, Basic Conditions of Employment Act, Witness Protection Act, the Medical Schemes Act, Financial Intelligence Center Act, and on page 31, the Private Security Industry Regulation Act, Institutional Legal Proceedings Against Certain Orders of State Act, and on page 32, amendments to the Regulation of Interception of Communication and Provision of Communication, the RICA Act. Thank you.
Yeah, just by way of reference, if you look at page 32 of your GILIP, which is your last page where amendments are, you'll see there again the reference dealing just with the technical things. If you look at the bold things, those are the things, and you can see agency or services. Services is just taken out, and agency is defined as the SSA now in the new definition. So these are just technical, and that is in your last column on page 32, where if you just give it one look, you can see the, in bracket and bold, the technical nature of the amendments to the RICA Act, which is your Regulation of Interception of Communications and Provisions of Communications Related Information Act. Honourable members, we've gone through the bill now. We have heard where there are possible additions, possible proposals, on other amendments, and we will have to consider that in due course. I thought that I might just adjourn for a few minutes. It is now 4:25. Adjourn for a few minutes until 4:10. I just want to consult with the acting DG, Mr. Dlomo wants to leave, and also the state law advisor, to just take us back so that we can look at the ComSec Act, which we haven't looked at yet, just to show you. We've gone through the provisions. It's already there. We've gone through it. You just haven't noticed it. Remember, the ComSec Act is going to be repealed, and the functions are going to be incorporated. So the functions, we've seen it there. I just want to draw the honourable members' attention to the ComSec Act, where the functions are there and how they have come over. It's not a big thing, but we just want to get cross-references so that I was trying to do it. I thought that Mr. Smuts had a presentation on it, but he didn't. So when we were about to start this afternoon, I saw that he didn't have it. And so we just want to have that slight discussion so that we can draw your attention to it. I think you need to know what it is that you're doing regarding the ComSec Act, because we're going to repeal it. So let's adjourn until 4:10. Just also by way of announcement, the House, those of you that were in the House, has extended the life of this committee to 25 April. However, the work is thought to be completed as a matter of urgency. We will more than likely not finish, but we will assess the position later on. And so we're going to have to come back next Tuesday and possibly the Wednesday. Remember, Friday is the holiday. There's no reason why we shouldn't finish it Tuesday, but I would like the honourable members all to make themselves available. I don't think that what you're doing in your other committees can be more urgent than what we're doing here. So let's try and make ourselves available for next Tuesday, if we're going to adjourn today at some stage where we haven't completed. We will then also possibly start on that Tuesday at 11 to give you opportunity to wrap up what it is, and if there are other committees, you can go there and explain the urgency of your not being there. So let's adjourn all of the members until 10 to 4, and then we'll come back. Visitors, my honourable members are seated already. Honourable members, we have made good progress, and we have completed going through the bill, and we have had extensive discussions on issues. We have looked at some areas where there is room for, or where there are proposals to change. Before we go into the way forward, can I just ask you to have your Kilip and your ComSec Act with you now, your Electronic Communication Security Pty Limited Act 68 of 2002. You should have a copy of that today. I remember I said to you this was a similar entity to ESCOM, private company, owned by government. But this law is being repealed, and the company has been deregistered, and the assets have been transferred to state security, and the functions now in terms of what we're doing are being transferred to the state security agency. So I just would like Mr. Smudge to take you to just draw your attention to the ComSec Act, where the functions are and where they are in the GILIP. So you're going to need your GILIP, and you're going to need your ComSec Act, and then Mr. Smudge will draw our attention to it. Then we would say that we have completed or had a look at everything we are supposed to have a look at. Yes, Mr. Smudge, can I hand over to you then?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, if the honourable members look at the ComSec Act, and in particular clause section 7 of that Act, it contains the functions of the ComSec, and they are to protect and secure critical electronic communications, to provide verification services, that's in paragraph B, C, to provide and coordinate research and development with regard to electronic communication security systems, and D, perform any other function not inconsistent with this Act. Now, if you turn to GLAB on page 5, from line 10, on page 5 from line 10, this is we're in clause 2 of the GLAB, which seeks to amend section 2 of the Strategic Intelligence Act, and it sets out the functions of the agency. And there you'll see it's actually starting from line 12, to protect and secure critical electronic communications against unauthorized access or technical, electronic, or other related threats. This accords with section 7.1a of the ComSec Act. The second one in Roman 2, to provide verification services, etc., is currently contained in section 7.1b of the ComSec Act. And Roman numerals 3, to provide and coordinate research and development with regard to electronic communications, is currently contained in section 7.1c. Of the ComSec Act. The Roman numerals 4, I believe, is a new function, the one relating to collect and analyze foreign signals. A further amendment which is proposed by the agency is is to exempt COMSEC, the agency, from certain legislation. Currently, if you look at the COMSEC Act, section 7, sub 7, it reads as follows. COMSEC is exempted from the licensing requirements contemplated in the Broadcasting Act, 99, and the Telecommunications Act, 1996. The proposed amendment is to reflect, since the COMSEC Act is being repealed, to have a similar provision in the Act in relation to the agency.
But you also draw our attention to the Telecommunications Act.
Yes, that's the current Act talks of the Broadcasting Act, the Telecommunications Act of 1996. The 1996 Act has been repealed, but by the Electronic Communications Act of 2005, so the intention is that the current legislation would, of course, apply to the agency.
Honourable members, that is the, you will recall that the minister had, when he had come to respond, said that he was grateful the committee had drawn his attention to this and had recommended that this exemption be included. It's not in the Act at the moment. It's not part of the GILAP. He had recommended that the committee should consider adding it to the Act. But that's the COMSEC scenario, members. The Act is going to be repealed. There's just these functions that have been moved to GILAP, and so I think that should be quite clear what it is that we are then trying to achieve. Just if we can go to GILAP, honourable members, if you look at page 5, as the Mr. Smuts was talking when he got to Roman 4, which would be on line 23. Roman 4, it says to collect and analyze foreign signals. That is NCC stuff. And for the honourable members that have not seen the ANC document, that is what has been recommended should be deleted from the Act. If you go further down to line 36, to monitor and interfere with electronic, electromagnetic, acoustic and things, those things also appear to be related to NCC, and those two are the issues that the ANC is referring to in the document should be removed. There has been a request that the ANC's position be formulated in draft form, and so I think we've reached the stage now where I've already spoken to the state law advisor. He would want some time in which to go and redraft and incorporate into a document the proposals that have come forward here from the Honourable Mania and also the proposals from the ANC, the issue relating to NICOC of the ANC and the NCC, as I've stated, and then also the proposals that have come from the Honourable Mania and just where they must go in. That document will be considered at the next meeting because that, as I understand, are the only issues that are going to be considered, whether or whether not to be or not to be, and I think then we would have to go back to the bill, and then by agreement, once we've agreed, we will insert it in the bill. The state law advisor will go back and then bring us the clean bill on which we will either agree or have to vote. So that then the process, which I think should be finished, honourable members, at least by Tuesday, and perhaps by Wednesday, or even late Tuesday, we can have a report which can be submitted to the House on the finalisation of the work here. So that then just is the way forward. It seems now from what the state law advisor is telling me, I was hoping that they would be able to produce this document tomorrow and then perhaps we we could have proceeded with this meeting tomorrow, but taking into account the fact that there are honourable members that are saying they are not going to be available tomorrow, taking into account that the state law advisor is also saying that it is going to be difficult to produce that document tomorrow, and then we are not going to be meeting again, it's going to take us to the next week. So it seems that circumstances have caught up with us, honourable members, and that as much as I would like to have had you have supper here at Parliament's expense by working right through the night, I am unfortunately not able to drag this meeting out long enough so that you can have supper. It seems that we have come in very close to finalizing the work for the day. We're going to have to send the state law advisor away, unfortunately, to prepare that document. I expect that they would be finished while honourable members are going to perhaps be in their constituency on Friday. There's no reason why state law advisors should not be working. I'm hoping that this document can be finalized. It's Wednesday today, Thursday, that document can be circulated by Friday. Honourable members, please, if you don't search your pigeonholes, and I know it's long weekend and so you might want to disappear into the dark, but give us an email address so that we can email the document to you, that you can have a look at the document. We do not want honourable members to come here on Tuesday and then look at the document for the first time. So we're going to take great steps to make sure that honourable members have the document over the weekend. You're going to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to look at the document. So that when you come back on Tuesday, we don't want to have a debate on what is this document saying. We know what the document is saying. We have asked, we're going to ask the state law advisor now to produce such a document. And then, as I said, on remember Tuesday, we will look at this document and then we will proceed there very quickly. The issues that will require a little bit of discussion is going to be in that document. After that, it's a clause by clause and very simple, just yes, no, yes, no. The Honourable Fichler has informed us that he will not be here again, if that is correct. He's taking up a new importance in life, and he's also leaving Parliament, and I think it's an appropriate time now to say, Honourable Fichler, it should not be in a meeting like this that we say goodbye to you. It should be in the House. You've been here a very long time, and you have served your country and you have served your party very well. It is unfortunate that we have to say goodbye to you in such a manner in this very small room. I would like to have been said in the House, but I'm sure when I speak on behalf of the honourable members, Honourable Fichler, that your contribution to what has been taking place in Parliament cannot be questioned. Your dedication, I certainly found you one of the most dedicated members I've come across. You are always on time for meetings, you're always there at meetings, and you have always been an example to all of us. And so on behalf of the ANC, on behalf of this committee, I would like to wish you, in your new occupation, all the best. I hope that you will remember us. I hope that you will, from time to time, keep us informed with how you are progressing. And we certainly wish you well. And if you need our assistance, you must not hesitate. So go well. I see the Honourable Mania wants to disagree with me.
Chair, just to say that we share your view and we wish the Honourable Fichler good luck in his new position, and given the fact that Port Elizabeth is my old hometown, I'll be following his progress very carefully. But best of luck.
Then, Honourable Members, if I might then be allowed, you must listen carefully now. Based on what has been done and what has been said in the committee here,
I am going to instruct the state law advisor to prepare a document which incorporates the changes that we are asking to be made. The changes that has been requested from the ANC is contained in the document, and the state law advisor will meet with the ANC on that just to make sure, just as they met with the DA, to make sure that the wording and so forth is right. And that is to deal with the question of the NCC and the question of the NICOC, National Intelligence Coordinator. You are also instructed to incorporate into the GILEP the exemptions which we spoke about of COMSEC. It's not there at the moment, and there seems to be consensus that it is something that should be there. You are also to incorporate into this document the proposals that have been made by the DA on behalf of Mr. Manion on behalf of the DA. Those are already contained in the DA document, and the Honourable Manion has presented those things. You are to produce such a document. I will instruct the parliamentary legal department to also be of assistance in producing that document. Mr. Vanara, unfortunately, is being moved to the communications committee, which is dealing with a very urgent matter of the SAPC board and collapsing there. I would like to watch the news tonight and see what's happening. I don't want to find that the SAPC is no longer in existence. So there is an attempt to create an interim board, and Mr. Venaro is busy assisting there, but we will, once that interim board is put in place, I'm sure they should be finished by now. We will want him back, and I will ask that he assist you. Now, Honourable Members, that is the instruction. Is there anything more that we need to be telling the Honourable Sons? Yes.
The Chair, you'll recall that we flagged Clause 7, and I'd like to have an opportunity to confer with my colleagues, and we may present, or we may propose a further amendment in respect of Clause 7. If we do so, we will do so tomorrow to the legal advisor so that it can be included in the document. And I think it will be a fairly simple and uncontroversial proposal.
Honourable Members, allow me to speak first and then see if you... We are going to be getting a document which will be a separate document from what we have. The document will include the proposals for amendments. This is a late amendment, but I don't see it's going to prejudice us any way. We will see it there. The motivation has already been... There's going to be no further motivation. So I don't see, rather than have a long discussion later, why it should or should not have been accepted. We will see that document. We are asking to see the document early, so you will have that document. And if the proposal has got value, we will take it to the board, and if it's got no value, then the Honourable Members will say so. So Honourable Members, I don't see there can be any damage. We don't like these late things, but I think if it's a late idea and there's value in it, then let's accept it, Honourable Members. There seems to be no objections to the late acceptance. So then, the Honourable Mania, the obligation is on you. Please don't come with complicated stuff. It must be simple. We do not want to get into another debate on very... And please don't take the situation beyond what is expected. We expect to see something nice and small. We don't expect 10 pages. My colleagues are saying 2 lines. But we know what we Honourable Mania. Please don't take this thing. So, Honourable Members, are you in agreement with the instructions that I've given to the State Law Advisor on behalf of the committee? Because when we adjourn now, the State Law Advisor is going to go and produce that document, and we will come back on Tuesday, and then we will
interrogate that document very shortly, and then we're going to get to the business of finalizing the bill.
As you say, Chairperson.
Now, I would propose, because it's going to be a long weekend, that the honourable members, we meet at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. And it would more than likely be in this room, because otherwise it's a problem. And then we will proceed, honourable members. Please bring your blankets with you pajamas, so that if we don't finish, there will be no sittings that will disturb us, and we will have to go. And if there's any lobbying to do on the lawyers, please phone whoever you want to phone. If you want support, if you don't want support, please by the time you get there, see that you've got your support, and that you did your lobbying, so that we don't have to worry about, you should know where you stand by the time you come back to the committee meeting. So, honourable members, can I then, I see you, honourable Ramaswamy, you want to be heard. Sorry.
No, Chair, I want to agree with you, but just to register an apology for Tuesday. But of course, I will expect to see the email, and I will equally comment if I need to comment. But on Tuesday, physically, I won't be around.
Well, then now, let me know that you are here. We didn't know.
Isn't it nice to notice that I'm here?
Honourable members,
Honourable
Santo, if you are excited to see the Honourable Ramadakan here, yes, then you will tell him outside. You tell him outside how deeply you miss him. So, honourable members, I think the situation is clear. Please bring your documents with you again. And please give us email addresses, so that if you are not going to be here from tomorrow, we do not want you to be stuck with pigeonholes, and then you're only going to see your pigeonhole on Tuesday morning. So will you please, you've got the numbers of the secretary. You can SMS the secretary your email address, and I would really appreciate that. Then we will email you the documents when the state law advisors made it available, and I think that will assist you. And it's not going to be difficult, because you're going to read through a few pages. It's going to be so simple. So, honourable members, if there's nothing, is there anything from the state law advisor?
No.
Anything from? Honourable members, we are adjourned.